Hello, everybody. It's George from Ireland. So welcome back to the channel once again. And so I'm talking about the United States presidential election due to take place, as the Constitution provides, on the first Tuesday in November this year. Okay, the quadrennial presidential election. Now, Trump's chances have been rising, which are now giving a 45% chance that he'll win. But the odd thing is, if you look at everything apart from the opinion polls, you do think that Biden would have a good chance. Like I said, a 60% chance. He's got incumbency. 75% of the time, the incumbent is returned to office. He's got a growing economy with low inflation, very low unemployment, and economic growth, stock market growth, and so on. There'd be no disasters on his watch. He's managed to keep Ukraine in this war without actually igniting a third world war. They've gone further on green energy and supporting the economy, on making life better for the average American, and so on, upgrading infrastructure, this Green New Deal, lots of really good news. A few of the bad news items on the horizon is obviously illegal immigration. Now, that goes on under every president, and perhaps ironically, it fell a lot under the Obama-Biden administration. Before Trump came along, they got it down a lot. There were sort of record deportations. But now it's risen abruptly, partly because coronavirus is long over. People who would have moved didn't move for over a year, and so on. Partly because he's not implemented the cruel policies that Trump did. The thing is, let's get in now whilst we have a chance, in case Trump comes back in, and then he'll really be horrific, and so forth. And just attracted by that very economic growth that that Biden has presided over. Admittedly, presidents have only limited control over the economy. It's not a totalitarian state. Even then, an economy leaks. There are all sorts of extraneous factors which are well beyond the control of the president. So I know governments all over the world, they love to take credit when the economy is thriving, and they disclaim all responsibility when it is collapsing. But nevertheless, he does have some responsibility for this, to do with he appoints people to be, you know, chair of the U.S. Federal Reserve, and control of the interest rate, money supply, and all sorts of other fiscal policies. The government has all sorts of levers at its disposal that can help the economy this way or that way, but no, they don't have total control or anything like it. But he's got to be given some credit for that. And a fairly moderate legislative agenda, too moderate, many people would say. But some things, it depends. If you're an ultra-Zionist, you know, Biden has been feeble. If you support human rights of Palestinians, Biden has just been revolting, so can't win on that one. These are quite important segments of opinion for the Democrats. They used to be resolutely anti-Palestinian. Now, obviously, some Arab Americans, some left-wing youngsters say, come on, Palestinians are human too. That's difficult for him. But you look at the opinion polls, and Biden's ahead, Biden's behind in almost every single one, even not very, very much. But, okay, we didn't really care what is going to happen in Utah. Trump's going to run away with it. Don't care so much what's going to happen in maybe Massachusetts, something like that, where you know the Democrats always win by a very healthy margin. Let's look at the swing states. Those are the ones that are going to be determinant of the election. And in the seven swing states, Trump's ahead in six of them. Obviously, you don't need to win all of those to win the election overall. Four of them, or maybe even the biggest three. And Trump's ahead, if you look at the sort of polar polls, by between 2 and 8 points. Now, 2 points is almost the margin of error, so I wouldn't read too much of that. But 8 points, that's well beyond it. And to shift it from Trump being 8 points ahead to Biden actually winning it, well, that's very difficult by election day. So, the polls, if you look at the polls and nothing else, Trump's going to win. That's it. And he's ahead, you know, nationally by 2 or 3 points. There are reasons for the Democrats not to despair, because various things are going to happen. Okay, the oppositional party is often ahead at this stage. The incumbent usually gains a few points in the run-up to election day, and we've got, goodness says, 7 months left to go. Trump could foul his own nest. These court cases are coming up ahead. Almost certainly one of them is actually going to go to trial next month. He could be convicted by November, and you know, he's facing multiple charges, dozens of charges. Convicted even one of these, he's going to lose it a few points. Now, there are plenty dyed-in-the-wool Trumpsters who are going to vote for him no matter what, no matter how many crimes he's convicted of. But there are some people who are soft supporters, you know, because, so let's say it's something like, 47% of people voted for Trump last time. And if you can get that down to even 45%, 2 percentage points down, then Biden would win. Or, you know, but if he was convicted of something, it'd be a little bit more than that. It wouldn't be huge, 3 points, 4 points, something like that. But that makes the difference between winning and losing. There are other factors. Is Trump going to die? He get dropped dead of a heart attack or else be severely incapacitated by that or a stroke or something. Obviously, Biden could drop off his perch. He's no spring chicken, as Trump likes to emphasize. Or if he doesn't actually snuff it, he could, just be hors de combat. So that would be a real wild card. And okay, Kamala Harris step up to the plate, but she's got appalling approval ratings, even worse than Biden. I mean, I don't dislike her that much. Comes across as a bit haughty, but that goes with the territory politicians. She is a cerebral, achieved a lot outside politics, gracious, despite her just nauseatingly evil views and policies. Same goes with Biden. Then there's the whole abortion issue. So Trump, he has gone for a more moderate one. He could have played hardball and tried to save tens of millions of lives, but he hasn't, because he's one to go sideways. He's obfuscating because he's obviously got no moral commitment to defending children. So that's why he's saying, well, states have to decide. He won't try and do anything to get a federal law. Of course, the president himself can't introduce a federal law, or only Congress can. He could do things to do with the U.S. military or whatever, saying won't be allowed in the United States military and commander-in-chief. But he's not even committing to do that, because he realizes fairly unpopular, because pro-lifers in the U.S., maybe 30% of the population, rather depending on how you define as pro-life. You know, if you want to say to outlaw abortion in virtually all cases, that'd be much lower than that, 20%, to restrict it quite severely, might be up to 40% of the population. But, you know, it's a minority, however you cut it. So that will disappoint the pro-lifers. Nevertheless, they will vote for it, because it's still a step in the right direction, allowing states to defend children, even if the federal government is not going to save kids' lives. So that's actually helping the Democrats a little bit. And when there's been a referendum in every state, the pro-abortion side has won. Now, admittedly, it's only states where most people want to be able to kill babies that they've actually held these referenda. So that is a difficult issue for Trump. The whole Israel-Palestine thing, that will be less salient towards November. I don't think abortion will lose saliency. So things could happen either way. Even more troubling for the Democrats is that they always have difficult with turnout. People who are Democrat inclined, less likely to vote. Voter ID laws are going to make the turnout go lower as well. So people who are lower income and ethnic minority and younger, they're the ones whose turnout is poorer. So that's other reasons. Now, demographics, you'd assume that the Democrats would have a considerable advantage because, you know, it's whites, non-Hispanic whites, who are the backbone of the Republican Party, particularly if they're church-going, particularly in rural areas, and own guns, and are male, and don't have a degree. And almost all those categories are falling as a percentage of the population, not dramatically, but each year the people who are on the face of it would be Democratic inclined are increasing. So that's going to have some sort of a cumulative effect. Now, Trump lost office and seeking to come back into office. There's only one president ever who was booted out of office and managed to regain it. That was Grover Cleveland in 1896. So just because it doesn't happen very often doesn't mean that it can't happen this time. It might have even more or less been a fluke that it hasn't happened more often. Well, very few presidents have been defeated have actually sought the nomination again, and none of them actually gained the nomination again. Apart from, I think it was, Teddy Roosevelt. So that's why actually Trump has got a fairly good chance. But, you know, anything can happen at backgammon. A week is a long time in politics, to use that much quoted Harold Wilson adage. Or as Bill Clinton said of the 1992 election, it's the economy, stupid. And the economy is quite healthy. Of course, there could be an economic shock later this year, which would redound to the disadvantage of President Biden. And it's only when the economy is doing poorly that the incumbent loses. That's one of the reasons Trump lost, because the economy is performing poorly, admittedly because of coronavirus, a situation he totally mishandled. So yes, we shall see. So that's why it's very difficult to call. Things will crystallize a bit nearer the time. But yeah, I mean, Biden, if he wins, in some ways it'll be an upset, because of course no president has been this unpopular at this stage of the electoral cycle and gone on to win. And bear in mind, polls are more accurate than they've ever been. They're more scientific. So that's why Trump coming back is a distinct possibility. People are trying to price that in. That's why Lord David Cameron, the British Foreign Secretary, went to Mar-a-Lago to meet Trump to try and prepare that for that eventuality. Should Donald J. Trump be reinaugurated this coming January, the United Kingdom, other Western countries, other NATO countries, they would like to make sure that he doesn't throw Ukraine to the wolves, as he suggested that he will. Of course, there's no telling what Trump's going to do. But anyway, on Trump's abortion policy, it shows just how sardonic he is, that he doesn't care about these babies, which he purported to do. It's solely to do with cephalological calculation. What is the most electorally advantageous policy? There's no moral principle involved in here for him. Even though he sometimes said the right thing, it's not for the right reason. In a sense, I don't care, so long as it upholds a child's right to life. Right, unedifying though it is that he's only doing it for completely selfish reasons. Right, thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon and donate on PayPal. Goodbye.